Which I'm mainly going to be speaking on tonight is from Isaiah 40, which begins with the words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort, comfort my people." The question that we're looking at over December is, what makes a good Christmas? And we started this morning with a generous Christmas, and this evening looking at a comforting Christmas. And one of the questions that often comes up at this time of year is, how do we celebrate Christmas together, knowing that some are in a season of rejoicing and some are in a season of weeping? Isn't that often a question that's on our minds, that we want to celebrate the wonderful things that God has done and the joy to the world, but at the same time we want to be sensitive and loving to those who are remembering anniversaries or perhaps going through really hard times. Now, if you remember in Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah, the people were weeping, weren't they, when the Bible was read to them. And this is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And Nehemiah said, "Do not weep, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, it's very hard, you know, if someone says, "Do not weep," I think it's not possible to switch off emotions and switch them on like that, is it? But there's something about the fact that joy and Christmas joy can exist alongside the deepest suffering. If we look at the Christmas story, we look at all the main characters, like Joseph tonight. He was in deep distress and anguish, and the angel came and spoke to him. Or Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were struggling with infertility, and the angel came and spoke to them. Or there's even Simeon and Anna, who were just longing for God's promise to come true. They'd been praying for something for years and years and years, and it had not yet happened. I don't know if you can relate to that. You've been praying for God to do something, and you haven't seen it yet. The whole of the Christmas story is people in that in-between place, between present suffering and future glory. And when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," he was speaking, I believe, not only into the obvious condition of death and the grief and the pain that death brings. He was speaking to the not yet of the Christian life. That what we are experiencing now is not the fullness of God's promises fulfilled. But we are also aware that we can be so insensitive. It's so easy to try and give a wise answer. But when someone is hurting and someone is grieving, the best thing we can do is to say nothing at all sometimes. Was it not Job that said, "Miserable comforters, you all"? His friends were trying their best, but the more words they spouted, the more pain that was increased for Job. And we know that only God can supply the comfort that we need. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in the troubles that we're going through so that we can comfort those others as an overflow. When tonight I'm going to visit my parents because tomorrow is the anniversary of my brother's death. And although it was a long time ago, it's still important to acknowledge it. Because I can't understand what it was like for them, even though I'm a very close relative, the closest relative. But I cannot understand for a parent to lose a child. I can't understand it. So no words will be offered, but perhaps just to be there. And things that you're going through, I cannot understand. I don't know what it's like to lose a wife or even a parent. But I do know that God can supply the comfort that you need. And so I will read scripture with you and pray with you, knowing that God's Spirit, who is called the Comforter, will give you strength. Because that's what comfort means. The Latin word forte means strength. Strength with you from God. Our shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, to comfort me. Now, the interesting thing about Psalm 23, it's got a comprehensive understanding of comfort. It's more than the comfort that you would give from just listening or just being with the person, because it talks about guidance and protection and rescue and even correction. Have you ever thought that comfort was all these things? Supremely, it's about presence, the presence of God. But Psalm 23 is saying it's about guidance and protection and rescue and correction. And so that takes us into Isaiah 40, where it begins with these words, comfort, comfort my people. These words have come at the lowest ebb for Israel. These words have come after they have been sent into exile as a judgment for the fact that they had rebelled against God. They were sent into exile. And they were thinking that God had forgotten them. Isn't that a common issue today? That people feel that God has forgotten them. And the way that they are helped to remember that God has not forgotten them is when we don't forget them. So one of the things that I am praying about over Christmas is, who are the forgotten people in 2021? Who are the people in 2021 that are saying, I've been forgotten? My cause has been disregarded. Nobody understands. That's what it says in verse 27. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by God. These people needed comfort. And God says, I'm coming to comfort you. In verses 3 to 5, God is coming to bring a revelation of his glory. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verses 9 to 11 speaks about what this revelation of glory will look like. It will be good news. It will be news that will spread really fast because it's such comforting news. And what is this news? It's that people will say, here is your God. Behold your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with his mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. This is power working in love. This is manifestation of mighty power, but it's also tender and gentle and caring. And those who need comfort are, when we need comfort, we are feeling vulnerable, aren't we? And we need a gentle hand of God. This is fulfilled in Jesus, of course. Can you see it? Can you see that he was the one who manifested God's power in spectacular ways, but never to show off, always to bring glory to God? But it was often the way he tenderly spoke to people, like the woman of Samaria at the well, or his disciples when they got it wrong yet again. And this is the shepherd that God is promising to send. He's mighty, he's powerful, but he is tender-hearted. And we're looking back on the story, but imagine for a moment, if we go back in a time machine and we were there 700 years before Christ was born, and we were living under a foreign power. We went to holiday for a weekend in Berlin, and we saw the Ishtar Gate. It's there in a museum. It's about the size of this building. It's absolutely massive, and it's got pictures of all the gods of Babylon on it, and then it had this wall, this procession, religious processions. The Jewish people in exile would have seen this, and they would have said, God's forgotten us. We've really messed up. Chapter 40 is a turning point. Chapters 40 to 55 speaks about how God is going to send his shepherd. In the short term, he's going to send a shepherd called Cyrus, who's not even a believer, and it's in chapter 45, and how he's going to set the people free, and they're going to be able to go back and live in the land. But in Isaiah 42, it speaks about one who a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In Isaiah 53, about a suffering servant. This is not speaking about Cyrus. This is speaking about somebody else who we know now is Jesus Christ. And Matthew in his gospel, he is frequently pointing back to Isaiah. And he's telling us that when the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That this baby that will be born, this baby who is not Joseph's natural son, but his adopted son, is the one who's going to bring comfort to the whole world. Comfort to the whole world. And it's going to be that comprehensive comfort. It's going to be provision and guidance and correction, but also presence. I will never leave you or forsake you. And the guarantee that it's going to happen is the word of the Lord. Look at that middle bit of verses 6 to 8. All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows in them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The guarantee that it's going to happen is because God's word endures forever. And that's why when someone is in need of comfort, they need God's word far more than they need our words. Carefully chosen, gently read. But if we can leave God's word with people, there is tremendous comfort. And God's word to these people who felt forgotten was, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. And later on in Isaiah, we have these words, these amazing words, where Jesus says, not Jesus, not yet, Isaiah is prophesying, and he's saying, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. How wonderful it is that out of all the passages in the whole Bible, that our Lord Jesus Christ, on his very first public sermon, would choose that one. If you're in any doubt about God's desire to comfort you, if there was any doubt throughout history that God's word would endure forever, that God's promise is guaranteed, then when Jesus stood up in Nazareth and he pointed to the scroll and he read Isaiah 61, and then everyone is on their tiptoes, saying, the comfort is coming because Jesus, Emmanuel, is here. We're going to sing again together. We're going to sing From a Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. in preparation for taking communion together.